Let's open with prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for another day of life. We thank you for the beauty of the day. We thank you again for the country we live in. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship you. And Lord, we just bless your name for how you're working in people's lives. And this morning, we just lift up Monique and John to you and ask, oh God, that this new phase of life would be powerfully affected by your work in their lives in these days to come. And so, Father, for all of us, we thank you for what you are doing in our own lives. And Lord, there are many that couldn't be here today because of illness and weakness. And so, Father, we pray you'll be right with them wherever they are this day. Lord, bless our ministry team now as they come and lead us in worship. And Lord, may we just sense your presence and hear from you as you share from your word with us as well. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Father, this is another great day to celebrate being together as believers. And, you know, your word says to not neglect our assembling together. And it's good for us, from all the busyness and activities of this week, to be able to get together and just focus on you and what you've been doing and what you're going to do. And Lord, we are just so excited for Monique and John in this new phase of life as they have become believers in Jesus. This is the first day of the rest of their life, and may we give them all the support they need and the encouragement. May they find that they can ask any question and they will be answered as people listen and share with them. And Father, we all are trying to grow in our faith, and so remind us that you're never putting us down or neglecting us. You're working with each of us at our own individual pace. You know us all so well. You know us better than we know ourselves. And Father, you know all the issues we deal with. You know the issues with, whether it's regard to school or work or retirement. Maybe it has issues to do with health and strength. Maybe it has to do with hospital visits or doctor's appointments. It may have to do with interactions with other family members and conversations. Lord, we just believe that you'll be in everything, and you go before us, and you're our rear guard. You protect us from behind. You walk beside us every day, and your word says that you live in us constantly. You're also seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, and you're interceding for all of us. I can't even fathom how you do it all, but you do it all. And so, Lord, give us a great sense of trust in you for this upcoming week. The peace to know that you're in charge and you are continuing to work in powerful ways. Lord, we pray especially for those who couldn't be here today because we take for granted being able to come to worship. We pray for Crystal and all that grief that she's dealing with the sudden loss of her sister. We pray for Gina, who's not well after being down working with her brother and painting for him. We ask, oh God, your strength for her, for Ted as he's recouping from the infection in his chest, and for Marg and the weakness she's feeling in her body. May she sense your presence in her home today. And for Betty and Sue, as they have this time and Betty rests in you, may she know that you're a great comfort to her. We pray for Mary Lou and all the decisions she has to make for her family, for her parents. And Father, there are many in this congregation that are dealing with issues of family. And so, Lord, they need wisdom and direction and insight from you. We pray for Joyce and Dan in this new aspect of life as grandparents, this new grandson. And indeed, may he be the son of the lion for all his life. May he be strong for the cause of Christ as he grows up into boyhood and manhood. And we pray, too, for opportunities with family. As Doreen has mentioned with Kimberly, I can relate to that whole scenario of seeing our oldest daughter. And Lord, we appreciate the times we do get together, and when the experiences go well, that's a blessing. And Father, we do pray for those who are waiting for answers. We think of Rebecca waiting for these different requests for Teachers College to come in, that you would give her clear direction where she's to go for that study as it unfolds in these days. And Father, we just rejoice with Sean and Anna, with Anna's parents, Sergio and Elena here, and we pray, oh God, that they would be blessed in this day. May their faith grow too. And may they be reminded that you're an amazing God in their lives. We pray, too, for Grace as she recoups at home. We pray for Linda and as Lori heads out to Guatemala, Lord, that you'd bless the team. Things would go well in that obviously very important week of ministry. And for Shauna, with these little puppies, and Lord, sometimes it's the little things in life that require so much attention, and so bless her in her home. And as she prepares to move to Wasega Beach, would you help her in her preparations? We pray that for Don and his move, that it would go well, and he too would feel a great sense of peace. And Lord, for all the unspoken requests of this day, we raise them to you because you're in charge. You're the God who rules the world. You're the God who's in charge of the universe. And Lord, everything that we're concerned about concerns you too, and you have an answer. And we will wait on you for the answer that you have, because we do believe that your best is even yet to come. So, Father, for each and every person this day, may they sense your presence as we have this day of worship. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Team, would you come?
Father, I bless you with all my heart. And I thank you for being right here in our midst. And we just pray for Pastor John as he's bringing this sermon. Father, the words that you lay on his heart and that you lay on our hearts as well, Lord, and you pray that you will open our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we understand what you are saying to us, Lord, so that we will leave this place with more faith than we came in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, how's your week been? Boring? Eventful? You glad it's over, or you wish you could have the same week again like you had? Yeah. I don't really care whether or not the groundhog saw a shadow. I saw snow. It's waiting at the airport to get on the plane in Halifax. The first thing I prayed was, Lord, please bring the plane. Second thing I said, Lord, please bless all the guys that are shoveling the snow out there. Boy, did they have a system. They ran five huge trucks. They were going up and down. They had trucks around. They had back-end loaders. And then I started praying, oh, Lord, please don't let them hit my plane when it comes in. Anyway, the plane came in, and snow was coming down. And then I said, okay, Lord, please let them take it off. Well, then they said, don't worry, we got to go and de-ice. I think those guys are paid by the day. So they sprayed down the plane. First it was orange, then it was green, and we left off with a multicolored plane. And we took off, and we saw there wasn't, you couldn't see anything from the time you left Halifax to the time Toronto. I knew I was in God's country. There's his son up there. There's son up there. You know, and you know, when we're talking in our series that we're up today is called Keep Strengthening Your Spiritual Core. What I find is my spiritual core is often being strengthened by events and situations and scenarios that are not necessarily pretty, but they're all part of growing our character. And so I did a lot of praying this week. I was out, as many of you know, I went out and had a little father-daughter time with our daughter Beth in Halifax. She's now moved out there and she's settled out there. And so flying in, and you remember, you watched me exit last Sunday, stage left, zipping out of here, get down to the airport, run into the airport. I'm running to the kiosk. I realize I left my coat in the car. So I go, oh, that's just great. So anyway, I phoned my wife. She came back. I got through security, and I got on the plane, got to Halifax. And, of course, then there's an hour time change. So Beth picked me up, and I went to the hotel. I got there about 10:30 or 11, their time, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock our time. I walked in. I'm pretty bagged, and I just said, okay, hi. And they said, how are you doing? I said, well, I work till noon, but other than that, I'm great. And he said, well, it's been a lot of flying. And I said, now, I understand there are room upgrades. They go, yes, sir, we've already given you one. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So they give me the top floor. View of the harbor, 16th floor, corner unit, big glass windows. I sit down, the Super Bowl is still. You know, here's another thing. I don't know whether you're into sports, but my prayer has always been, Lord, let me at least see the last 2 minutes of a game. I got in there, and my son was texting me. Hey, Dad, I'm at a friend's. Who do you want to win? I said, Kansas City. I don't care who wins. Like, pfft. But I wanted Kansas City to win. So I get there, I flip on the TV. You know, one of those small ones. I think they now build TVs for blind people. Anyway, so I'm watching the last part of the game. And, of course, the last quarter, I think they got three touchdowns. They win the game, and everybody's hooting and hollering. And all I could think about, when we all get to heaven, now that'll be a party. All right? So then I turned off the TV. I thought, I guess I should go to sleep. Beth was working the next day, so I had the day to putter around. I was going to meet her at 3 o'clock at work, and then we're going to have supper and whatever. So I thought, I'll turn off the TV and get settled in. I said goodnight to Jane on the phone and settled down in bed. Okay, what is that? Start walking around the room. I check the TV. Check the bathroom. Maybe there's wind coming through the window. Maybe there's some kind of hum here with the machines at the side. Maybe it's the clock. Then it dawns on me, it's on the roof. You with me? So 1:30 in the morning, I go down, I say, I'm sorry, look, I can't sleep. This, yes, sir, we know. You know. Okay. We'll give you another room on the 9th floor on the far side. You get a view of the harbor. I said, thank you very much. I moved all my stuff. I get down. I sit on the side of the bed. I go, bless the Lord. At this point, all I want to do is go to sleep. So I realized that whatever it was right on the edge of the bed. So if I got further into the bed, it would be okay. So I got into bed. I slept. I get up in the morning. And I went down, I said, look, there's something wrong with the bed. I thought it was maybe the wheels or something, or the, you know, the, I didn't know. I was looking under the bed. You can't see much, you know, when you look at a bed, but I didn't know what it was. So they said, well, send up the maintenance fella. I said, oh, that's marvelous. So he comes up. He says, well, why don't you help me pull the bed apart? I said, yeah, I have nothing to do till 3 o'clock. Why don't we? So we take the whole bed apart. It's a king-size bed. We whip the mattress back, and here we've got the two box springs, the twin box springs. So he's feeling around, and he's looking at anything. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of springs that are loose on this box spring. Okay, let's flip it over. So we flipped it over. He says, so now I said, okay, let's make the bed. He goes, oh, no. And he phones up. He said, hello, could we please have housekeeping come up and make the bed? Oh, I like that. I don't have housekeeping in my house to make the bed. So anyway, so in comes this fella. Actually, I got the best housekeeper in the world with me. So anyway, so this fella comes up, he's making the bed, and this guy's standing around, and we start talking. Well, he's about Jim Wilms' size. He's got a beard, kind of a little scruffy beard. And we start to have a conversation and find out he is a warlock, a male witch. So I think to myself, oh, this is going to be good. So my first point I want to say to you is, when God's working in our life, however he's working, nothing is random. So I went to that room to get transferred to this room for there to be a problem with this bed for this guy to come up to the room. You hear what I'm saying? We talked for an hour. I asked him, okay, for what your belief is as a in Wiccan, what is your source book? He didn't have a source book. Said, you want to cut up my source book as the Bible, go ahead, give your best shot. It's outlasted a lot of you guys. We had a very amicable discussion, but what was fascinating is that the entire time he was fixing the bed, before I found out that he was a witch, I mean a warlock, is everything was Jesus Christ and the hell of this, and everything was a deflammatory thing, but when it came to believing in Jesus Christ, he didn't believe in him. How ironic that so many times people will say the name of the Lord in vain, but they don't even believe in the name they're using. So anyway, we talked for this hour, and I talked to him about my authority under Jesus Christ. I told him how I became a Christian, why I made a choice to become a Christian and believe in Jesus Christ and everything, and he said, well, I don't believe hell's real, and he was going on, and I said, look it. I said, when it's all said and done, you're going to have to make a decision for or against Jesus Christ. That's bottom line. I said, I want you to choose Jesus Christ, and when your life is over, I'd like you to go to heaven. I want to see you in heaven. Even if you don't believe heaven's real and you don't believe hell's real, I want you to be in heaven. So he shook my hand, walked out the door. He said, I'm not working again until Thursday morning. I'm off. I said, okay. His name is Dion. Thursday morning, he's in the hall. I ran up to him. I said, Dion, I've been thinking about you all week. He goes, oh, yeah? I went to shake his hand. He could barely shake my hand. Do you think the power of God was working on him? And you know, sometimes I think we look at our lives and we go, okay, Lord, what are the purposes? Is there any purpose in my life? I mean, I look at this week, and I was going to take a few days and just go to Halifax, see Beth, see her new place, talk to her about how she was settling into Halifax. That was my plan. God goes, oh, no, I got a bigger plan. So the question is, did God have me go to Halifax just to talk to Dion? And you know what? If God wanted you to talk to Dion, he would have taken you to Halifax. It doesn't matter who it is. God knows he's trying to reach everybody for the sake of his honor and glory and for their eternity. And I came away from that discussion with Dion, and I thought, God, you're amazing. And you know, there was no fear. Because you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Dion knew that there was something different. I could see in his eyes. He knew there was something he couldn't tap into or he hadn't tapped into yet. So I'm going to be interested to see how God works that out. So again, in reviewing our spiritual core, again, we start with belief. I am persuaded that what? He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The more I talked to Dion, the more I was convinced I know what I believe. And I don't know about you, but I find in this last month, while we've been working on this topic of strengthening our spiritual core, the Lord's been giving me very specific areas for me to do a self-check. How am I doing on my belief? I came away from that situation going, you know what? I believe in Jesus more than ever. And then the second part that we talked about was the fact of relationship. How are you doing talking with the Lord? How am I doing talking with the Lord? And it was interesting because one of the questions, Monique, if I might just say this, last night when we were talking, she said to me, how do you know when God's speaking to you? The question is, God's speaking to us all the time. And how he's speaking to us, the bigger question is, are we listening? And the second question is, do we want to talk to him? Because he wants to talk to us all the time. And the relationship is growing. And I found that, you know, throughout the time, there were some situations in Halifax where I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. What do you think God did? He talked to me more. He talked to me more intently. He brought me through a night where I was tossing and turning. The one night I couldn't sleep. I was up and everything. I didn't know if it was coming or going. God talked to me through the whole night. Relationship. And then we talked about how we have action, personal action, our study, how we're reading the Word, how we're praying, how we're working on our own lives in terms of how I want to be stronger as a Christian. And then the outward, how are we bearing good fruit? Like I felt at the end of the time with Dion, I felt the Lord was saying to me, good job. Good job. And then we went on to the rest of the day. I walked past the Citadel, went down to visit Beth, met the staff that she works with, and met some of the ladies. That there's 30 people. It's a high-end nursing home, and so it was interesting to talk to the manager, and then we headed out for some evening activities. The reality is a lot of life is just normal. We're doing everyday things. But do we know who we're going to meet at the superstore when we arrive an hour from now? Do we know who's going to be in the doctor's office when we go to sit down? Do we know who we're going to come in contact with when we go into the classroom and start our semester of classes? Do we know? Do we know what God's going to want to do? I had no idea the people that God was going to put me in touch with. And the interesting thing is some of my best conversations came when I didn't know what to do. I was in parts of Halifax. I didn't know where to go. I was lost. I got into one of these multi-level parking lots that opens. You go in the first level and the third level enters to the mall. So it's like, okay. And I'm really good with directions. So I'm standing by the elevators, and a fellow comes out, and I said, can you tell me what floor I have to get to? He goes, oh, well, you're at the right floor. Here, come on with me. I'll show you. And he turned out he was working on his master's of computer science. He was from India. I started talking about Tonga and Christina and Bangalore. I mean, I don't know much about Bangalore. I haven't been there. It's only 8 million people, I hear. But the reality is, for 20 minutes, we had a talk. The next thing I know, I shook his hand. The next thing, he's patting me on the back, and I'm going, random? I think not. I walked down to the ocean front when I was putting in time on Monday, and I thought, I'll just go down and look at the water. It was gorgeous. Of course, oceans don't freeze as fast as fresh water, so there wasn't any ice or anything. So I noticed there's a boat going back and forth across to Dartmouth. I thought, oh, I'll go down and see how much it costs. So I get on the boat, $275, as many rides as you want, just come back through. And I just thought, this is better. This is better than Wonderland. So I get on the boat, and I'm of course, I'm up on the upper deck without a hat because, you know, My ears don't get too cold, and my brain never freezes. Of course, it's never thawed either, but that's a different question. And I'm riding back and forth in this boat. Well, the one captain, he gets off at every stop, so I start talking to him and talking to one of the fellows that work on the boat. And I said, "So guys, tell me, what's one of the two or three good reasons for me to move to Nova Scotia?" And he goes, "We are." "Okay, you are. You're so humble, you're proud of it." "I get it." So we had this amazing talk. So I ended up taking this boat four times. Fourth time, the guy says, "Come on up into the pilot room." Oh, baby. That's like when I was a kid to get up in the front of the plane and see the captain. So I'm riding up there and there driving this boat, and I'm feeling like King Tut. I'm looking around. He thanked me for coming, but in the whole midst of that discussion, he starts telling me about his life and his marriage and the things that he's going through and the things he's worked through, and I told him I'm a pastor and I love the Lord, and we got talking, and the other guy piloting the ship, he didn't say anything. I go, "I think we've touched a nerve with that boy." But what was interesting, this captain said to me, "Thank you for coming and talking to me." Random? I just wanted to see the harbor. So why I say all of this is because you and I are on a life journey that God is putting together. Yes, we have a free will. We can come and go technically wherever we want. But the reality, he's got plans and purposes and timing, because ultimately he wants us to what? Be bright lights, shining for Christ. But he also has people that he wants us to communicate with, to share about the hope that lies within us. And it can be as basic as getting on a little ferry boat and starting to smile and asking questions. This week, don't look to have profound Billy Graham type moments. Look to have moments where you're just living your life, and a smile is the lead in to what could be an incredible conversation. So I want to unpack this, because when I look at Scripture, is it all about now that we're Christians and they all lived happily ever after? No. We do not all happily live ever after. We've got major life issues. We live in a fallen world. There are germs. There are diseases. We got a whole world right now in a major panic. All because a group of people started eating bats that were bad in China. Now, I think the bottom line on that is don't eat bats, period. But anyway, their culture started something, and the whole world is afraid because the media is in a fear frenzy. We're in a world where who knows what's going to happen. But the reality is we know who's in charge of the world and is bigger than the fear. So I want to unpack this, because Jesus, I think, was very clear in his last talk with the disciples. We have it in John 16:33, and Richard's going to put it up for us. "These things I have spoken to you," this is just before he goes to the cross, "that in me you may have," because in this world you will have what? And the Greek says tribulations, trials, sufferings, and persecution. In this life, you're going to have it. "But be of good cheer," what? "I've overcome the world," and the Greek says, "and given it, and have the power, and deprived it of power to harm you." Now, does that mean we could be persecuted? Yes. Even to death, martyred. But the reality is, I've overcome the world, but in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations and suffering and distress, persecution, you name it. And that's one of the things we need to keep in mind, because I think very often when we get into the midst of trouble, we go, "God, what's going on here? Son, you're in a fallen world. Daughter, you're in a fallen world." Paul says, we have, in 2 Corinthians 4, "we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." And then Paul says, we are what? What does it say? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. Boy, that's my idea of living. Barry told me on Thursday night that he and friends went out to the Mandarin the other day. I don't know where the Mandarin's in the Bible, but it would sure be nice if in the midst of persecuted and perplexed and everything, but we can still buffet. But what Paul is saying, this is what's going on in our lives. We're hard-pressed on every side. One of the hardest things I find is when I get blindsided. I don't enjoy when things are coming at me and I know there's trouble coming at me, but it's when it's get hit from behind, or you're just going along and you're going through the intersection and you get T-boned. I was talking to a lady last week. She said, I was just driving through Barry on Bayfield Street. This truck came right through, hit me, right on the driver's door. I mean, life is like that sometimes. We're T-boned. We don't know if we're coming or going. Paul, I think, doesn't beat around the bush. Then you look at his personal testimony later on in the 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what he says. Now remember, he's a strong Christian, right? Yeah. He's been converted soundly by God. He's serving the Lord with all of his heart. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. So that means he had 5 times that he was lashed how many times? 39. 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Oh, that's my idea of fun. Once I was stoned. Amazing he wasn't killed, because when you're being stoned to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Oh, yeah, pick me. I'll take a life jacket. A night and a day I've been in the deep. That means he's been floating where? In the ocean. For how long? My body lies over the... I don't think Paul was singing happy songs. Night and a day. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. How are we doing so far, Richard? You keeping up with me here? In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness. What's the next word? Often. Oh, Paul, you must not have had much faith if you couldn't sleep. No, that has nothing to do with that. It's the issues of life. In hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Try that one on for size. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. What's Paul saying? Life is pretty rocky. A lot of issues are going on. And in a sense, he could say, God, what are you doing? You converted me so I could go through all this? I mean, he could say that. But this is what he does say. When he's writing not to the church at Corinth, but now to the church in Rome, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? It is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep as the slaughter. Yet in, please circle the word in your brain. Yet in all these things, we what? We panic? We get upset? We get angry? No. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What does Satan want to do? Separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All Satan's tools are earthly. He tries to play in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the health issues. He wants to whisper negative things at us. He wants us to be neutralized in our faith. And yet Paul says, and yet in the spite of all that I've gone through, I'm more than a conqueror. Has Paul lost his mind? Is he going crazy? Is this early dementia? Not at all. This is the absolute conviction that his spiritual core is right where it needs to be with God, and the events around him don't indicate that reality. I think what he's saying is, despite the trials and the tribulations and the persecutions, I am more than conqueror. In other words, all these events are confirming to me that I'm in Jesus, and he loves me. Many of you know the name Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley was the founder of Methodism in the 1700s. He went through a low period in his time, in his life, when he didn't feel that he was serving the Lord and hearing the voice of the Lord. And he was basically the first circuit preacher that ever went around on horseback in a country, and he did it all through England. And one day he was so frustrated with where he felt he was lacking with the Lord, he got off his horse, he knelt down, and there was a hedgerow beside him, and he knelt down, and out loud he said, Lord, I need you to show me that I'm still your son and I'm serving you and you are working in my life. Well, there was a fellow on the other side of the hedgerow going to work. and he heard this nutcase praying, and he got stones, cobblestones, out of the pathway, and he started to wing them over the hedge at the guy. Couldn't see him. He's going, stupid. And he starts winging them. Charles Wesley jumps up. He goes, praise God, he loves me. Got back on his horse. Now, I don't know what it takes for you and I to be motivated, but I would prefer to be motivated without many stones. But he was so excited because in the midst of all he was going through, what did he realize? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Faithful ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Nothing, says Paul, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this to the church at Philippi. And this, for years, has bothered me. I don't know if you've been able to digest this scripture fully, but I've always had issues with this. Philippians 4, 11, 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have known how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I'm what? I'm content. Now, I don't know about you. I don't mind being content when everything's abounding. When Barry was looking across the table from me there on Thursday night, he looked like a very happy boy. He'd been at the buffet at the Mandarin. I don't have a problem being content when my stomach is full and the temperature setting on the thermostat is working and the snow has been removed from my driveway and is on the trail so that Don and Donna can go snowmobiling. But do we feel the same contentment when all hell is breaking loose around us? Paul says we should, because when all hell is breaking loose, it's around us, it's not in us. And Satan is just trying to scare us. Dirty Face is just trying to pull us down. And Paul somehow is seeing beyond that. And this is what I'm working on, as I'm working on my spiritual core. How to be content in the midst of all the upheaval and the uncertainties of life. Because God loves me and God loves you. Now what's interesting is if you hear what Paul says, it will start to give you a sense of peace. Because when you hear what Paul said to the Corinthian church and you see what we put up on the PowerPoint for the Philippian church, do you see Paul at peace? Do you see him at calmness? Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't get agitated. I mean, you read in Scripture, he goes, please tell so-and-so to bring me my cloak, and nobody is here with me except so-and-so. I'm all alone. And here he is, and he's bound to a soldier for 2 solid years under house arrest. That's my idea of fun. You know, you say to the Roman bodyguard, excuse me, can we go to the bathroom together? And he's got to sit in the bathroom while you go to the bathroom. I mean, no privacy, nothing. And yet Paul says, in whatever state I find myself, I am content. So, what do we make of this? Well, I want to bring up one other idea before we finish today. It's an Old Testament concept. And I think here holds the clue. One of the minor prophets that's written in the Old Testament, and you know there's, after you have Jeremiah and Daniel, you have what's called the minor prophets, Nahum and Micah. Habakkuk was writing at the time of Jeremiah, about 600 B.C. And I don't know if you know your history much, but in those days, the Assyrian Empire basically ruled from Egypt all the way to India. And then as it faded from, it started in about its highlight about 1100 B.C., it started to fade out about 600 B.C., and Babylon became the empire. And it took over the region. Babylon was the head, and of course it was on the Tigris and Euphrates River. It was in present-day Iran. And it, there was issues that Jeremiah said, you are a nation that is not following God, so I'm going to send in a conqueror who's going to take you captive to where? For 70 years, where were the Israelites going to be taken? To Babylon, into the Babylonian Empire. And Habakkuk was writing about the same time as Jeremiah was writing. And this is what he said, because he knew from the Lord that the people were going to be in a situation where they're going to be totally destitute because of sin. All right, now this is important to note. Because of their willful sinning, this is what's happening. Now, most of us are not doing willful sinning, but it's just life itself. But here's what Habakkuk says in chapter 3 and verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the flocks yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, because the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Now, what I want you to get in this, because we've talked about Paul, I want you to understand what Habakkuk is saying here, is that in the life that affects and the events that come around us, who's going to give us joy and strength? God himself. And in that, we cannot be terrorized. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And what Habakkuk's saying is, when you stand still because you're terrorized. So what he's saying is, I'm not going to stand still in terror. The Lord's going to give me stable feet to walk in the midst of what? The high hills where there is trouble and instability, because I have spiritual stability. And the first three or four verses, he actually says, the reason I am trusting the Lord is because God and his glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence. Fever followed at his feet. God stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills bowed, his ways are everlasting. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation, you trampled nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation with your anointed. He's saying, you're looking after us, God. You struck the head of the house of the wicked by laying bare the foundation to the neck. Selah, which means calmly think about that. What Habakkuk is saying is the same as Paul. What he's saying is, in the midst of all the things we're going through life, what do we need to do? Rejoice in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to our own human understanding. Say, okay, God, I don't know what's going on, but you know what's going on. If you choose to tell me what's going on, that's fine. But if you choose not to tell me what's going on, it's still fine because you're in charge. What's interesting, in the first verse of Habakkuk 3, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet set to wild and enthusiastic music. These are the days of Elijah. The husband's becoming as flesh. He's saying, no. When you see the power and reality of God, you need to be jumping and hopping. And in our day, you'd call it even Pentecostal. But the reality is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So family, as you and I are going out this week, I want you to check your spiritual core and see, am I enthusiastic in what I believe? Am I enthusiastic in my relationship? Am I enthusiastic in my personal interaction with God? Am I enthusiastic in my outward actions with people? And you know what? If you want to sing in a car and crank the Kirsten music up, you go right ahead. Beth had, this iTunes, I can't keep up with all the technology. So she's got all these iTunes. She goes, Dad, what do you want to hear? I told her what I want to hear. The next thing you know, we're bopping down the highway to Bridgewater, singing our hearts out. And the part of the good news was there were no other cars around, so I didn't have to be embarrassed. We just sang. What do you think the Lord wants us to do as we live each and every day, in the midst of the trials and tribulations? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Okay? Can you work on that this week? I'll be asking you next week how you're doing. Let's pray. Father, would you keep strengthening our spiritual core as we purposefully want to draw closer to you and be more committed to who we are and knowing what we believe and who we serve. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit of contentment and peace will fall upon each and every person in this room throughout this week. I pray that you'll continue to ground them, that the circumstances of their lives will mature them so that they are stronger in their belief and relationship with you than ever before. May we continue to make spiritual progress in the midst of the high places, in the midst of situations that would cause us to maybe be in terror. May you remind us that you are working in powerful ways. And Lord, may we be enthusiastic in the midst of everything, because our God reigns. And if he goes before us, who can stop him? So Lord, bless this family, I pray, in all that they do this week. And Lord, I'll be looking forward to hearing a good report next week. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for the reminder of who you are and what you are, and we are under your authority. What we have responsibility for is our reaction and attitude. The reality is, since you're in charge, we're going to move in the strength of your power and love. We're going to enjoy you this week. We're going to joy in you this week. We're going to trust in you like never before. And we're going to believe that you've got great and powerful things that you're accomplishing, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of the people we love and know, and in this world as a whole. And so while this world may be in fearful terror right now, remind us that there is eternity that's awaiting, and the joy that we have in you is indeed our mental, physical, and emotional strength. And we bless you for being our God. Thank you for your love this day. And all God's people said, Amen.